And I saw these homemade Valentines last week. Kids are so funny. Here's one. It says, I don't know if you can read it. I love you, Mom and Dad. Happy Valentine's Day. Mom and Dad, you are lucky to be alive. I guess they are. And the next one. You are a beautiful human being, but I'm not good at drawing human beings, so I drew a potato instead, but a very beautiful potato. And here's one to our teachers. My second Valentine is for Mrs. Johnson. She is a great teacher. She's not on the Jedi Council, but she is great with the Force. Isn't that great? Teachers are good with Force, right? Obviously a Star Wars fan like my nephew, who loves Star Wars. Well, kids, they already have the idea of love and affection, if they received it. Little girls, they want to marry their dads, and boys, well, they want to marry their mothers. Mary Bell and I, after we were married a few years, we took in a marriage seminar at the Lethbridge Mennonite Church. And John Drescher was there. He was here in Lethbridge. And he's an author, a Christian author from in the States, but he came here. And some of his books are in our library. He's an expert on parenting and on marriages. And he said, the best thing that you can do for your kids is to love each other as a couple, love each other, and make sure that they see it. They will learn what healthy love looks like. And I like that. I think that is true. They learn it from their parents instead of from the world, and they learn it firsthand. Here's a Valentine's poem from Robbie Burns that caught my attention. Look at this. I wish I had it written down. It says, I think it's the scotch in him that I like. A red, red rose. Oh, my love's like a red, red rose that's newly sprung in June. Oh, my love's like the melody that's sweetly played in tune. As fair art thou, my bonny lass, so deep in love am I, and I will love thee still, my dear, till all the seas gang dry. Till all the seas gang dry, my dear, and the rocks melt with the sun, I will love thee still, my dear, while the sands of time shall run. And fare thee well, my only love, and fare thee well a while. And I will come again, my love, though it were 10,000 mile. Isn't that beautiful? See, I had a way with words. And then the next one, this next one is from the Bible. And this is from Solomon in the book of Song of Songs. It's beautiful also. Place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm, for love is as strong as death. It's jealousy unyielding as the grave. It burns like blazing fire, like a mighty flame. Many waters cannot quench love. Rivers cannot sweep it away. If one were to give all the wealth of one's house for love, it would be utterly scorned. It's lovely. That was our wedding invitation. Mary Bell chose that for our wedding invitation. It was beautiful, beautiful poetry. And the Bible is a beautiful, beautiful book. And love is wonderful, but it's risky, isn't it? I mean, you can put the sentiments of your heart out there for all the world to see. You don't know what response you'll get. Many a young man has had his hope of love spurned and rejected. And even if you do find someone who will love you back, even after a public vow was made, after a wedding, are you really sure that the vows won't be broken when things go haywire? Nobody starts out that way. We all have the best of intentions, don't we? I read about divorce rates in arranged marriages, and how low they were in India. And Pastor Gary would know this. I thought, there's the answer. They've got it. Get the family involved. Trust the family. They'll make the best choice for you. Then I looked and saw at the bottom of the page another headline. India is the most depressed country in the world. Take that with a grain of salt. They stay together. That's a good thing. But does it bring joy or satisfaction? The heart is such a fragile thing. It's so easily swayed, so easily deceived. I saw a news story just last week. Canadians were swindled out of $19 million by romance site scammers. First, they gain your trust through the internet by communicating with you. And then a fake disaster happens, and they ask for money. Well, God knows whoever controls the heart also controls the person. Two men will be persuaded to leave the comfort and prosperity of Canada. One will join a group of terrorists for what we know is evil. The other will go to Africa to help the poor and bring the gospel of hope to desperate people. Both are following their hearts, believing that in this, they'll find the satisfaction and the purpose of life. God answers the question of fulfillment in this life. Only one thing will bring satisfaction. It can only be found in God. He declares his love to his people, and then God gives them the keys to fulfill life here in Deuteronomy chapter 30. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you're entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you're not obedient, and if you're drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare you this day, you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and earth as witness against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life. There are a couple stories in the Bible to give us examples of such people whose hearts turn away. There's Judas. You know the story, how he was called by the Lord himself, and he spent all that time with him. And then, just at the very end, he showed his hatred for Jesus, and I say hatred for Jesus, and love of money. And he betrayed him for those 30 pieces of silver. And then he killed himself. Destroyed himself. Another example of turning away is one of the kings of Judah, Amaziah. And his story is found in Chronicles chapter 25, where it says of him, he followed the Lord, but not wholeheartedly. He began well, listening to the prophet of God, who warned him about bringing in a mercenary army to help his own. He listened and sent the mercenaries home. And then they went and defeated their enemy, the thing he was afraid of. But after that, after they defeated the enemy, he foolishly decided to bring his enemy's idols home to Jerusalem, setting them up and worshiping them. Exactly what Moses had said here in Deuteronomy. And God acted to stop him in his error. And first he lost a battle that he thought he could win easily after his first victory. And then he lost his life, assassinated by his own officials. How could he go so wrong? The answer to that question is to answer ourselves. How do we go so wrong? And what can we do to keep from going astray? And here's a few Bible verses that I found. First, remind yourself daily that God is good. His way is best. God always promises to be faithful. And Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9 says, know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. What a promise. Just before our brother Jake Wilms died several years ago, he told me his verse, his favorite verse in the Bible. It was kind of like this. Don't be afraid. I will be with you wherever you go. I will never leave you or forsake you. And I marked it in my Bible. It was a powerful moment. Secondly, you must understand and realize that true contentment can only come from the God who gives us life. And the verse that I chose there is, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Anything else might seem good. It might seem good now, but in good time it will not. Thirdly, know in your heart that you will be tested. Amaziah was tested. Judas was tested. Difficulty comes to everyone, everywhere. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, says James. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. In heaven, the test is over. This life here is the test. And then fourthly, to pray. All of life's problems and difficulties will be lessened with prayer in conversation to our God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6, our well-known verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. Pray for one another. Ask God before you make a decision that he will sway your mind to see the right path. And don't look at those around you. Be content what God does for you and through you. What a question here. If God is concerned with the heart, if he is after our hearts, then why the commands? And I believe the Bible here says so that we can know what sin is. That's the reason for the commandments, so that we can know what sin is and be able to turn from it. But it works like this. Our hearts are so easily deceived. We may even think that we are following God, but if our actions don't line up with his commands, it's a clear indication our hearts are not right. Go back to God. Make your heart right. Repent. Only two commands from Jesus. Love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself. And that would be enough if the heart really is right. If my heart is right with God, I will not commit adultery, as our passage said, and I will not even think about doing it. I like what this Spanish proverb says. He who has loved many women has loved none, and he who has loved only one has loved them all. Why? Because he's respected them all in his heart. Then we obey God, not because we fear punishment, but because we love him. I heard this story. Teenagers were outside on a hot summer night. They were looking for fun, an adventure. There was a bridge over water and a fence with a big sign, no jumping, no swimming, danger. One by one, the group of seven stripped down to their bathing suits. They climbed over the link fence and jumped into the cool water, all except one girl. She quietly stayed on the side and watched as all her friends were having their fun. They urged her to come in. She wouldn't move. "Come on," one shouted. "What's the matter? Are you afraid your daddy will hurt you?" "No," she said. "I'm afraid I'll hurt my daddy." And that's how a heart devoted and loving thinks. A heart like that finds it hard to do anything wrong and finds it easy to do what is right. God's book is his love letter to us. Everyone who reads this book honestly will see the love of God shining through most brightly through Jesus. Some of us men heard the story of Bill Ginter, the one that he told at men's breakfast last couple Saturdays ago. He and his wife were in Vietnam for a wedding. They hired a translator, and it was a young woman that they hired. It was for their time while they were there. And while they were in the car with her, he felt the nudge of the Holy Spirit speaking to him. "Tell her about Jesus. Tell her about Jesus." And so he did. He told her the gospel, the full extent of the love of God found in Christ. And she listened, and then she said, "Now that is the most wonderful story I have ever heard." And he said to her, "Yes, yes, it is wonderful. The best part is, this is not a story. It's all true." And they continue to speak to her to this day, hoping and praying that this young woman will decide to trust Christ with her heart. It was for the sake of a better job they made the move. Better pay, a better house, better everything. But mother knew this move was going to be hard on their son. It always had been difficult for Hayden to make friends. And this school wasn't any better than the last. Sometimes she would walk to the school ground at lunchtime and peer through the schooling fence to see how he was doing. Usually he was alone. It didn't help that they had moved in early October. All the third grade kids had already made their friends. Christmas came and went, and now Valentine's was near. Hayden came home all excited one day after school. The teacher had told what the class would do for Valentine's Day. "We're going to make Valentine's boxes in arts class. And then on Valentine's Day, bring our Valentines from home and put them in the boxes to take home after school." "Mom, I have a plan," he announced. "I will make a Valentine for everybody in the whole class." "Are you sure, Hayden?" Mom asked. He was. And every day after snack, he set to work cutting, pasting, writing and coloring, finishing the last Valentine only a day before. The next day, he strode off to school, bright and hopeful and early, with his lunchbox in one hand and in the other a bag with 26 handmade Valentines. All day long, Mom couldn't help worrying about what the afternoon would be like. He put so much thought into each one of those cards. Would anyone remember a card for him? She baked his favorite cookies and set them on a plate for when he would come home. And then she watched through the front window. There she saw what she was afraid of. A bunch of kids running, laughing, each with a box, bursting with valentines under their arms. And then she saw Hayden, walking behind them, by himself, with his empty box. She greeted him at the door. "Have some milk and cookies." But the boy wasn't sad at all. Quite the opposite, really. "I did it, Mom. I did it. I gave everyone in my class a Valentine. I didn't leave anyone out. Now everyone knows that I love them." And folks, I believe what the Bible says, that this Savior of ours also had a plan, that he would leave no one out, that he would show to everyone his love, the love of God. Some would think it a small thing. Some would scoff. Some would see it as foolish, nothing really to be desired. Most would outright reject it and not give it even a second glance. Only a few would see it as it really is, the most wonderful thing ever. And I can imagine that Jesus, after he finished his work on earth, being crucified and rising from the dead, that as he returned to his home and his father watching through the windows of heaven, welcoming his son back, that he would call out to his father with joy, saying, "I did it. I didn't leave anyone out. Now the whole world knows that I love them." His love for you reaches to everyone, everywhere. You need only begin to understand it, to trust it, and to cling to that love with all your heart. If you're straying, come back to him. If you're being drawn away to what this world offers, realize God's way is the best way. And if you're angry or disappointed with what has come to you, Jesus knows it. He's there with you. He's faithful and has not forgotten you. And if you don't know him, you can come. Pastor Gary and I, we'd love to tell you about God's great love for you, about Jesus. We love him because he first loved us. Amen. God bless you all.